We are talking to Massimo Mazzucco, award-winning filmmaker turned documentary maker, and we're so glad he did, and quote-unquote self-anointed conspiracy theorist. And so his new movie, American Moon, is at Amazon, Vimeo, what have you. That's what we're discussing. If you're just now joining us, you've missed quite a bit, so be sure to check out the interview, thepowerhour.com. Catherine will put it up, or on our YouTube channel, The Power Hour Radio Show. Check that out. I want to summarize kind of what we've discussed to this point, and you correct me where I'm wrong or add to wherever you want, Massimo. Basically, sure. From your research, you saw a figure. Jack Webb was a central figure in NASA. He began pushing the narrative, maybe pressure because Russia was making advances. Gagarin had the space, maybe whatever the reason. He felt NASA had to start pushing that. It became on Kennedy's mind. He pushed to Kennedy. Kennedy had doubts about why are we risking soldiers, why are we risking astronauts, what have you. The discussion went forth. He kept pushing. NASA kept pushing. He helped raise money. They went forward with this mission. It seems from your perspective, what you believe is they had true intentions that, yes, we're going to go to the moon. As time went on, early 1967, there was the disaster there on the landing pad, where they never got off, and the three astronauts died. From that point, other problems began to mount. The Van Allen belt was never even mentioned publicly after 68, so obviously it was still there. It didn't disappear. All these things began to possibly paint a picture that, hey, we're not going to be able to do this, and certainly not by the time that Kennedy has proposed the end of the decade. And so if we don't do something, we're going to look. It created an environment of desperation, and definitely from the pictures, you're a world-class, world-renowned filmmaker. Photography, you know photography. In your mind, 1,000%, 101%, whatever number you want to put on it, no question. The pictures that have been put out of that initial moon landing are not from the moon. There is no way those pictures are from the moon in your mind, and this creates a very, very clouded vision and picture of what is being called the moon landing. Would that be a good way to describe so far?
Is it good enough that I could hire you as my writer for the next movie? You did a very good summary. Thank you. Yes. Well, as I said before in the first part, I cannot put my hand on the fire or swear to God that we never went to the moon, but I am absolutely certain that all the pictures and images and films are faked on Earth. So at least I expect some valid explanation on why, A, did they shoot them all on Earth, and B, why they never told us that. I mean, they should have told us at some point if they want to conserve the credibility. Now that the pictures, they're obviously made on Earth, they need to come up with a good explanation for that. Then I would accept. Then I would start to argue about all the other parts, which are still very important arguments. You know, some of them were arguments that were brought out before me by other researchers, like Bart Sibrel, for example, or David Percy in England, who's made an excellent documentary about the same issue. So some of those issues I tackle have already been tackled before by others. But there's also something new that I found in my research. See, when I started this film, the first thing I said, okay, let's buy. I just, you know, put out, wrote a big check, and I bought the original DVDs from NASA from all the missions. It's like 70 or 75 DVDs that came to me straight from the Spacecraft Film Organization, which is the official NASA distributor. So I knew I had all my originals in my hand. And I started working with those originals and only with those. I never looked at any YouTube clip that I could find because you never know what's been done with it. And in examining the original videos and audios, which are, you know, sometimes live broadcast, I found something incredible, which is at least in three different instances, the delay between the question that comes from Houston and the answer that comes back from the moon is not long enough to be really from the moon. It's like you and I are talking, and I say, Daniel, and you go, yes, and you reply before waiting for the 2 seconds, 2.6 seconds, which are necessary. Given the distance between the Earth and the moon, you'd need at least 1.3 seconds for a radio signal to reach the moon and 1.3 for it to come back. And that is if the astronaut replies immediately to the question. So, you know, if I say, what's your name? And you say, my name is Dan, you know the answer, so you reply immediately, but at least 2.6 seconds have to be there. And in instances in different instances, I found that there is not. So I figured somebody forgot to throw the switch, so to speak, and they forgot to enter that artificial delay that would make it look like this came from the moon. This is one of the findings I made of my own. Another finding I made of my own, which really stuck with me because I know enough about broadcasting live shows, is that you see this broadcast from the moon that I broadcast were made with an antenna that was mounted on the rover. I'm talking about the last three missions. In the first three missions, there is no rover. The last three, Apollo 15, 16, 17, you have the rovers, the little jeep, lunar jeep. This rover has an antenna mounted on it and a camera mounted on it. They both the antenna is pointed towards Earth by the astronauts. The rover has to be still, of course, it cannot be moving. And the video camera is operated in remote from the Earth. So basically the guy on Earth, the operator on Earth, can swing the camera around, can pan, can tilt, can look around, and the signal gets sent directly through that little umbrella antenna placed on the rover, beamed back to Earth, and seen live on television here. The problem is that even when the rover is sitting still and they're doing the broadcast, sometimes the astronauts touch the rover, which has very, very soft suspensions. And you can see the image, which is coming from the television, camera, that swings up and down like crazy. I mean, not 1 or 2 degrees, 10, 20, 30 degrees oscillations, which means also the antenna, which is mounted next to it, is oscillating at the same width. And yet, the signal never breaks. I've shown this clips to a specialist here who is a specialist in, they follow bicycling races, and they have this little antenna mounted on the motorcycle. So they follow the bikers very close and they broadcast live. He says it's impossible that they don't lose the signal. With this kind of oscillations, this kind of bouncing up and down, the signal would have to break. Keep in mind that from the moon to the Earth, your angle, the good angle you to aim to the Earth is only 2 degrees. If you go anywhere beyond 2 degrees in your aim with umbrella, you lose the Earth completely. Not just, you know, Australia or America or the United States. You lose the Earth. It goes completely off the mark. And yet the signal never breaks.
Let me clarify or summarize so people get this. Because imagine being so far away from an object. You know, you go in the distance and you're looking through a kaleidoscope or binoculars. So you look at something with binoculars through distance. If you move just a little bit because you're far away, you no longer see what you're looking at. And so it's the same thing with this antenna. It's not just a broad spectrum antenna like an America radio. You know, you can get the radio signal everywhere and it just goes everywhere. Because we're so far away from the moon, it's like 280,000 miles or something, it's got to be pointed directly at the Earth. Or else you're going to miss the pattern. So if it just moves 2 degrees, it moves 3 degrees off. You're not pointed at Earth anymore. You're pointed at Mars or Uranus or Jupiter or whatever. You're not pointed at Earth.
Yes. And actually the very manual of the antenna from NASA explains that. It shows it, and I showed it in the film. It's very interesting because there's an actual grid and it says, the astronauts must keep the aiming of the antenna within 2 degrees angle, otherwise they lose the target, which is the Earth. And when you see this image is bouncing up and down, like, I mean, it's like a trampoline. You know, if my kid jumps on the trampoline, basically pretty much that's the kind of bouncing you get. Boing, 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 up and down. The landscape goes from the bottom of the frame to the top of the frame and back at 3, 4, 5 times. And the signal never breaks. I mean, I expect an explanation from NASA on how the hell did they do that? Because they must have some strange technology that we're not aware of.
They got magic radios. It's like the magic bullet that killed Kennedy. They got a magic antenna.
Yeah, except they cannot replicate that.
Funny
only
thing.
Magic bullet only comes once in a lifetime, you know? It's gone. It was used.
Let's talk about, that's very important, it's very interesting, these new things that you found. When you show this to, obviously when you show pictures, you've already did, to certain experts that you know in the field, I mean, they just laugh about this. It's not even a question. When you talk to other experts about the delay and about the antenna bouncing up and down, what do they say?
As I said before, the only guy I could interview was is an Italian guy here who works for Italian television, and who used to run, go on those motorcycles, following, and they had the little antenna pointed to the satellite, to the broadcast of the live broadcast of the biking race. And he looked at those bouncing and he said, wait a minute, how far are they? And I said, 250,000 miles. He says, oh my God, please forget it. We cannot even keep this, the satellite in aim from Earth, which is only a few hundred kilometers up. Forget 250,000 miles or 400,000 kilometers. It's impossible. And that was also, there's another very interesting thing that I found, and I found this by accident. I was looking for something else, and as I was running back and forth on these movies, on the images, this was Apollo 16, I actually realized that the flag was moving while the astronauts are not touching it. Now, so far, before my film, there was only one case known of flag moving without the astronaut touching it, because you know the big argument about the flags, that you never really, they're waving all right, but you never really know whether they're waving because there's air on the set or because the astronaut is touching the flagpole. So we cannot tell for sure. And even the Mythbusters in their own show they made about the moon hoax, they say, unless you can find a picture, an image of the flag waving without the astronaut touching the flagpole, it's Mythbusted. Well, we found at least two more instances next to the one that was already known.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Because it's very, very hard to explain that, you know, this flag. It's one case in Apollo 14, the astronauts have been in the LEM already for 15 minutes. So you have this extremely long shot from outside the LEM where absolutely nothing happens for 15 minutes. And I was actually looking for something else in that shot. And I saw it with the corner of the eye that in the very edge of the frame on the right, the flag comes in and goes out of frame three or four times in the span of 2 minutes. And so I go back and play it again. So wait a minute. The astronauts are inside the LEM. There's no person, no one else on Earth, on the moon, sorry, not on Earth. No one else on the moon that could touch this. How is the flag moving? And I could not find a decent explanation. The only explanation that the debunkers came up with was, because, you know, they're testing the rockets before departure, so they're expelling gas and it's hitting the flag. But we're in the vacuum. In the vacuum, if you push out some, depressurize some gas from the capsule, it gets dispersed in space. It does not create the turbulence that you would need to reach the flag and move it. So that's not a good explanation. So these two extra flags moving, it's so-called my gift to the other researchers. They can look more into it if they want to. This is going to become another topic.
All right, let me ask you, and I think this is an important question on the other side, okay? Playing devil's advocate on the other, or just really just inquisitive. Is it possible that we went to the moon, we did get through the Van Allen belt, it was like a X-ray, we got there, we did have film footage from the rockets, but when we came back, because it went back through the Van Allen belt, it got all erased, and so the government was scrambling, we needed promotional video or whatever, we had to show film of this, so then we just made it so that to simulate it. I mean, is any of that possible?
Yeah, well, this is actually a very legitimate objection. Some people say, okay, look, let's say that the pictures are all taken on Earth. There might have been a reason. The film was ruined or everything else or anything else. And they just reshot them because they wanted to look good, you know, which is understandable. There's one problem with this hypothesis, though. If you look at the photographs, the actual still pictures of the Apollo 11 mission, for example, you know, Aldrin and Armstrong bouncing around on the moon. If you look at the still pictures and you look at the video images, they are exactly the same set. You know it's the same set because they have the same angles, the same perspective, the same position of the sand, the same holes in the same position. The lighting is the same. Whenever those pictures were taken, the video images were taken at the same time. That is the same set. There is no way that you could have faked that set so well. And because the video images were broadcast live on July 20, 1969, that means that also those pictures had to be taken either on July 20 or before, but not after the mission, not after we saw those live images. So the fact that the live images are live and they match exactly the photographs in the smallest detail, it means that we're in the same set.
Therefore, okay, so what you're saying,
those pictures have a date, 20 July or before that, but not after that.
Okay, so it's, okay, so what you're saying is there's no way they were made after. They were made at the same time. And it was live. I mean, everybody knows July 20th, 1969 on their TV, wherever they were at, when you kissed a girl, what have you.
I missed the landing because I was busy with something else.
Yeah, I think so. And so, there's no way it was done after. So that was premeditated. At the very least, it was premeditated, in case of emergency or because, you know, whatever, it was not done it wasn't done after is the point that you're getting at.
It could not. The pictures could have not done after the videos.
Okay.
So either if we really went to the moon, then we are looking at real pictures from July 20 and a real video from July 20. If we didn't go to the moon, they were both pre-recorded and pre-shot in the studio, but always in the same moment because the set is the same from pictures and videos.
Or they did that on purpose because they thought, you know, we may be able to get to the moon, but we sure as heck are not sure if we can get the signal back. I mean, that may have been part of it. Obviously, they didn't test, like you said. They didn't even do proper testing.
Somebody actually explained why we have the technology to go to the moon, but we don't have the technology to take pictures up there.
I'm on your side here. I'm just throwing things out there. The Van Allen belt. They couldn't get through the Van Allen belt. I mean, I've heard everything.
If somebody from NASA wants to come out and say, look, we weren't sure we were going to be able to beam the signal back and take the pictures there, therefore we pre-recorded everything in the studio, that's fine with me. But they have to say that. They have to explain why those pictures are fake and taken on Earth. There's no way around it. There's no way around this problem. Especially the backlight pictures.
The big question, you know, now let's talk about when the astronauts get back, the news conference. To me, the news conference, these men, they start asking questions about, did you see stars? And they look at each other. One says, oh yeah, we saw one. No, I didn't see. It's like they didn't even get on the same page before the news conference. I mean, discuss that.
That news conference is really a big, big topic because you see these three men who have just come back from the biggest achievement in the history of mankind, period. They are the first three humans to have set foot on another
celestial body,
exactly. I mean, you would expect these people to be beaming with to be radiant, to be
absolutely excitement,
impossible to contain from joy, from, you know, even if they're humble people, you can see the eyes. These three people sit at a press conference. They look down. They almost never look up. They answer the questions like they really have to. It looks like they've been trained with a script. And whenever the unscripted question comes up, the unexpected question, which is the one you mentioned, were you able to see stars with the naked eye? They don't know what to say. They look at each other and says, we could never see stars by the naked eye, looking at the bright side. And Collins, the guy who's been orbiting the moon for you know, a day and a half while they were on the surface, so the third astronaut, who supposedly had nothing to do for that day and a half but to look out and see the stars, turns to Armstrong and says, I don't remember seeing any. What? Where the hell have they been in those critical 7 days to come up with such a stupid answer? I mean, how can you say, I don't remember seeing any? When you have been circling the moon, and you have also, and I put them in the film, you have interviews from previous astronauts who went out on the Gemini missions, and even the space shuttle astronauts, they tell you is that it's beautiful to look because all you can see is stars everywhere. Because there's no atmosphere, so there is no refraction protecting. You can see them bright.
It would have been overwhelming. It would have been stunning. It would have been unbelievable.
Yeah, one of the ISS astronauts, I think his name is Riley, he says, oh, you see millions of them, and they're not twinkling because there's no atmosphere, so they're like fixed points. You can see them very well. And for a guy to say, I don't remember seeing any.
What were you drunk? Were you drunk? What's wrong with you?
What happens when you have an unscripted question and you really don't know what to answer? I mean, this is so simple.
I want to fast forward 50 years now to, this is pretty recently, earlier this year. out of Israel, I believe it was. I don't know if it was an Israeli company or whatever. They launched from Israel. It was a private jet, or not jet, private rocket that was going to the moon. That was supposed to land there unmanned to surveil. Just as they were about to turn the cameras on to show the surface of the moon, the rocket explodes. I mean, this sounds like, how convenient. You know, just as we're about to really see the surface of the moon, it explodes. This is ridiculous.
It exploded in space?
Yes.
On the moon? I didn't know this. I have to look into this. Absolutely. But I tell you what, even without this example, there was in 2011, Google launched what's called the Google X Prize, $30 million for any private enterprise who could send an unmanned rover to the moon that can walk or wheel for 500 meters and send back live pictures to Earth. That's a price. The Google X Prize was $30 million. As soon as this was the Google launched the challenge, many private companies started building, you know, their own little rockets and their own rover to win the prize. NASA issued a no-fly zone in 2011 all over the landing sites for 2 kilometers, with the justification that we need to protect those historic sites. I mean, they're not going to go destroy them. They're just going to go see. No, a 2-kilometer no-fly zone on the moon, it's shocking. I mean, why would you not want a private enterprise to get close to that? I mean, the point is that there was one company called Astrobotics from Pittsburgh, I think, which is near where you are, I believe, originally planned to land and explore the potential.
Hey, pause right there, Massimo. The music and Skype don't mix. Just pause right there. We'll get more of this on the other side with Massimo Bazzuco. This is incredibly engaging, ladies and gentlemen. American Moon. It's available on Amazon, Vimeo. Massimo Bazzuco, the one and only. ThePowerHour.com. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum! If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you're one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM Sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thepowermall.com. That's where we get the fuel to fuel this rocket that we have that we call the Power Hour, to use the metaphor here. Vitamir products, of course, the maca. Everybody's asking about the maca, the zinc toothpaste, which that's the one I like the best, is the zinc xylitol one. The children's toothpaste, I like the taste of that the best, but as far as the zinc and ingredients, I like that one. The mouthwash, which I just love. The Iron Earth is on sale. Numana is 10% off. We have a little bit, Jay wants me to tell you, we have a few of the detox foot pads left in stock. Wayne Elliott was discussing that. Those are very cool. You can pull things right out of your feet. It's kind of gross and fun all at the same time. So there you go. Shipping on Strauss Heart Drops is free, and if you sign up for AutoShip, you get a discount on all your orders. Check out all those at thepowermall.com, thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. We're talking, of course, to the great Massimo Mazzucco, who's done a wealth of documentaries. We'll get into a few of them probably if we have time, but this is such a big thing. American Moon, you can get it at Amazon, you can get it at Vimeo, certainly some other places, I'm sure you can check it out. Worth your time. You never know what breaks people's paradigm. You never know what enlarges people's view of the world when they see an event and it shatters the perception. And you never know, just even something like this, and the trust that we have, and the, well, if they're lying about this, what else are they lying about? You never know where that goes and where that rabbit hole goes for people. So this is an important subject. It's fascinating. It's engaging. I mean, it's enthralling, really, the subject. American Moon. Check that out with Massimo Mazzucco, wherever you buy those type of things. A couple questions. Why, we have telescopes that can see, you know, supposedly they can take pictures of black holes in the edge of the universe. Why don't they just turn the telescopes on the moon and take pictures of the moon landing and boom, there it is?
Well, I can only give you the official answer that is given to you when you pose that question to the NASA supporters. The question number one is, well, because we have the atmosphere that acts as a filter. So we cannot see that sharply from here to the surface of the moon, which I'll accept as an answer. But the second question is when I say, okay, why don't you just use the Hubble, which is outside the atmosphere,
right?
You know, and turn that towards the moon? Then the answer becomes, Hubble, people at Hubble are too busy to listen to your conspiracy stupid theories. So they don't want to waste time. So
waste time? Waste time? Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine how...
of money, you know, suddenly it becomes a waste of the taxpayers' money to turn the Hubble towards the landing site of Apollo 17. I don't know, maybe they did. Look, even if you could, we would always have an image that that is giving us not live, unless we do it from your own balcony and with your own telescope, whatever image. I mean, we have images of the supposed landing sites taken from the unmanned probes. Clementine was one, Kaguya, the Japanese one, made also a computer recreated the surface of the moon stone by stone, basically. So we have those. But in those, all you can see is a picture of, you know, some little sand that's moved and a little spot there, and the arrow says, this is the leftovers of the LEM.
Yeah, I mean, it means nothing. Could be anything. Digital,
with Photoshop, my kid could make those pictures in 20 minutes. it's really impossible to prove anything one way or the other with pictures today. We are in the digital era. Back in the 60s, that's when it was difficult. And that's why you can tell, or at least I can tell, some of the tricks that they used to fake those pictures. Because then you had no digital technology. You had to do everything in the dark room. And that's where you fall short sometimes.
Let me ask you this question. And this, when I first heard about you coming on, one, I haven't talked to you in a long time, so I was excited to talk to you. And when I saw this, what the subject was, this is immediately what came to the back of my mind. What is the response from your peers, other people you talk to, other reporters, about you making such a controversial film as this?
Well, at first, most people were skeptical that I could come up with anything solid. People were saying, you have built your reputation on the 9/11 film. That is untouchable. Don't blow it on the moon because it's going to backfire. But, you know, being a photographer and knowing what I knew then, I knew I could prove that the pictures are fake. All I needed was somebody else that's not me to say that. Because if I say that those pictures are fake, well, of course, you're the conspiracy theorist. What do you expect? So I had to go to these professionals. And by the way, these professionals not only are top of the world people, but they used to work already in the 70s with the same cameras, the same lenses, the same lights, and the same film that was used for the Apollo pictures. So they know that film. I mean, I used to load that film in everyone else's camera when I was an assistant back in the 70s, and I know exactly how that film reacts to light. And you know that with that film, you cannot make even the smallest mistake in exposure because your picture is going to be completely dark. And suddenly you have these backlight pictures with the dark area of the land that's totally illuminated in a way that is absolutely impossible on Earth and even more impossible on the moon because you don't even have the refraction of the sky behind you that helps you to reflect some of the light. So on Earth, when you photograph a person in backlight, meaning that the sun is behind her head, you're facing the sun and the model is between you and the light. So she's facing you with the dark side. That's called backlight. And she only gets the model. She only gets reflected light on her face, not direct light. In order to get enough reflected light on Earth to see her face, you have to use reflectors and artificial secondary sources of lights next to you. Otherwise, you'll see a black hole, basically. And on the moon, where they supposedly had no artificial lights and no reflecting panels or anything, you can see perfectly well in the shadow. And that is called, in our business, it's called an actual miracle. That's why the photographers laugh. No, that's why the photographers laugh, because there's no argument there. I mean, for me to have that result with that film, with that camera, with that lens, in that lighting condition, I would have to have two assistants, two huge assistants with two 6x6 or 8x8 reflecting panel, one on each side of me, and maybe, and just maybe, I get some light reflected. And here so are these guys totally alone. Go ahead.
So you started this journey making this film basically on that premise and want to see where it went from there. It wasn't like, oh, okay, I'm going to go out to prove that we didn't go to the moon. No. It's, I see this. Let me start here. Let me see where this goes. That was basically your premise.
That's always been my approach anyway. I don't have any predecided conclusion, because if you have, it's going to affect your process. If you start, like many debunkers, for example, 9/11, just to go back to this issue, many people say, oh, it's impossible that Americans would do something like this to themselves. So it's unacceptable. If you have this premise in your mind, your whole reasoning is biased. It's tainted by the fact that you cannot reach a certain conclusion because your premise forbids you to do it. You can't go there, simply. If you start with a blank mind, with only facts first, so use the what is called the inductive process instead of the deductive process, then you start collecting your little evidence here and there, and only at the end do you draw your conclusions. That's usually the process that everybody should use. That's really the scientific process. The scientific process does not start from a fixed conclusion and walk backwards. It starts with collecting the evidence. That
well,
should
unless,
happen all the time.
Well, unless you're Al Gore, then it's different. Anyway, unless you're Al Gore, let me ask you, we kind of talked about this during the break, and I don't want you to get into details or name names, but as you've done this, you've kind of experienced a little bit of a blackout media wise and people, they don't really want to touch this. You've kind of felt that or kind of instinctually feel that. Is that creepy to you or what comes to your mind about that?
It's alarming more than creepy because, you know, I've contacted, you know, without naming names, as you said, I've contacted a few radio stations I had been on in the past and successfully so, by the way, and to let them know, you know, if the 50th anniversary is coming up, if you want to talk about it, I have a different point of view on it. And again, I don't want to convince anybody of my own opinion. I just like to, you know, be able to express my opinion. These radio stations just never even replied. It's like they don't want to go there. They don't want to risk being attacked for even giving room to a possible moon hoax, to a moon hoax possibility. I mean, in a way, it's understandable. It's the 50th anniversary. America established 50 years ago that we are the greatest technology country in the world. We won the race. How can you now place a doubt on
put a
that?
Wet blanket, so, yeah, on that.
Yeah. So on one side is understandable. We don't want to go there. On the other, correct information is correct information. If there is enough evidence, and I believe there is, that we were lied to, then we have the right to ask questions, even if this is an icon that somebody could not touch. But this was shocking. I have the feeling that the times are changing very rapidly. I mean,
Changing in what way?
Worse is becoming much, much worse.
The control of information. You mean the control of information?
Well, it's sudden, it's subtle, it's not controlled directly. I don't see any radio station direct editor saying, oh, don't go there. I think that the journalists themselves, the radio the hosts themselves, are afraid they would be attacked if they proposed this, so they just rather not touch it. It's a self-inflicted censorship because the pressure of thinking in a unified way is there. I mean, it's obvious. As soon as you step out of the frame, step out of the mainstream way of thinking, oh, my God, how dare you even suggest? You know, so the right to have an opinion is not as solid and untouchable as it was 10 or 20 years ago. This is changing rapidly. This is a warning sign. And I think it's bad because if we don't preserve this right that we all have to at least, you know, correctly and honestly and politely express their own opinion, whatever it is, then it's really bad because then it's no longer a democracy. Then becomes a fascism dressed in democracy.
Let me ask you about, and we've mentioned this over the last week, really have come to the forefront discussing this. I don't know what you've done research-wise about China and their social credit score. Do you know what, does that ring a bell? Does that mean anything
to
you?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's very scary. Very scary.
Yes. And so right now, people who think like I do, like you do, if we were in China, if this is China right now, we would not be allowed to get on a train or have a job or even fly. I mean, right now, that's what's going on in China. And this Google, go ahead.
Yeah. Not only that, but you meet somebody, they check out your credibility score, and they don't even want to talk to you, maybe, because there's a bad sign. Then if you talk to these people, then you get your own credit lowered, maybe. So maybe don't connect to them. Look, we came up with the greatest democracy of history of mankind. But somehow this democracy brings also the real freedom of speech. And to some people, this real freedom of speech, not just the literal, but realistic, is too much. And you cannot just have apply censorship in an open way. So you do it in a subtle way, like the credit score, for example, the credibility score, the personal score. It's terrible. Just imagine that before I talk to you, I say, can I see your score, please? Because I'm not sure I want to even go to dinner.
Associate with you, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be associated with you. So it's going to create divides, in social divides, and the majority is always going to be used to quash the minority. And that's what I call fascism.
Now, you've done many documentaries, many films, other things. You are well known. People may not understand. You're a well known person in Italy and have accomplished quite a bit. Of all your documentaries, which one stands out the most? Besides This American Moon, which one stands out the most? Which one did you get the most response, good or bad or indifferent?
The most response came from September 11, the Newport Harbor, because that was really a landmark job. It was my third film on 9/11. It covers a complete discussion of what is one of the largest arguments ever discussed, because 9/11 is not one event. It's the airplanes, the hijackings, the towers collapsing, the Pentagon attack, the Shanksville event. So everything is a discussion on its own. And I was able, it took me 3 years to put it all together. But I think, to me, that is the biggest achievement. But the movie that I believe it's more useful to other people, and of which I'm very proud of, is Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. Because in that one, I show how medicine today is not interested at all in curing people. There have been at least 10, 15 valid alternative cures for cancer discovered in the last 100 years, and they have been quashed, distorted, or sometimes doctors even have been killed so they could not promote those. And I think it's very important to people to understand that the medical system is not necessarily there to cure us, especially oncology in the cancer world. So that, to me, is the most important in terms of civil value, so to speak. In terms of personal satisfaction, September 11 in Upper Harbor, because of the amount of work it took.
Is there the discussion in Italy, the same here, this vaccine discussion, this vaccine debate?
I wasn't going to bring it up, but that's my next documentary I'm working on.
So, ooh.
Of course.
Very good.
It is huge here. You have a Paul Offit doctor. We have an equivalent here in Italy who's doing the same. The propaganda about vaccines being safe and harmless is absolute. They just introduced a new mandatory 10 vaccine schedule, mandatory for kids, unless, you know, otherwise they can't go to school. This has created a large debate, and there are a lot of dark areas about vaccine safety that need to be covered, absolutely. So whenever I'm done with that, if I'm able to, if nobody gets to me first, so to speak.
Nobody's going to get to you, Monson. Nobody's going to get to you.
I hope not. I'm not that dangerous, really. I'm not that dangerous. I can be allowed to survive, probably. But anyway, whenever I'm done with that, I'll contact you again, and you'll be the first one to discuss that with me if you want to.
Absolutely. I would absolutely.
Let me just announce this. This is important, though. About the vaccine issue, I already have a half an hour clip that I put out on the internet. It's called The Wakefield Case, Where Is the Real Fraud? I encourage anybody who is in curious about vaccines to look at that video. The Wakefield Case, Where Is the Real Fraud? Because in that, I cover the story of Wakefield, and the real story comes out of what really happened with him. And I'm not going to say anything, but if you're interested in a vaccine debate, look at that video, and you know why I suggested you look at it.
Oh, very good. One of the most memorable, everything you said has been, you know, meaningful to me, but one of the most memorable things about your video, I mean, one of your, it was about the hemp, and that they made a car out of hemp, and I think it was the 30s, and they were hitting it with a sledgehammer. I just remember that to this day. That's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, Ford did that. It was the 40s. It was made of hemp derivatives, and it showed basically that you could have a whole industry based on hemp. The film is called The True History of Marijuana. And it really shows like the entire prohibition thing has very little or nothing to do with the drug aspect of the cannabis. And it has almost everything to do with the industrial aspect of the plant. So the whole demonization of the cannabis was really just a means to get rid of a very potentially impossible to beat enemy in the industrial market. I mean, in the 1930s, 100 years ago, we had industries like the petrochemical industry was just being born, the chemical pharmaceutical was just being born, but you could not get past the obstacle represented by cannabis, which at the time provided for everything. You could make medicine from it, you could make textures, you could make textiles, you could make food, you could make combustibles, and even cars, like you said. So they had to get rid of the cannabis plant itself in order to promote the petrochemical revolution. And in order to do that, they demonized the drug aspect, the flower part of the plant. But what they really wanted was the plant itself. And so they could, they could get rid of it.
Do you have this comprehensive sex education in Italy like we're seeing here in America, where they're teaching four-year-olds that they're not a boy or a girl, and they're teaching 11- and 12-year-olds, they're letting them have
like
an abortion?
We all live in the same hell, apparently. It seems like we all live in the same hell, because the problems you have, we have. Yes, the gender, we call it the gender the theory here.
Theory, yeah, that's a good word, theory.
How can you tell a kid that he's not necessarily a boy if he feels and knows he's a boy, or a girl that she's a girl? That's a very big discussion that I don't think we can do in undertaking 2 minutes. But that's part of the and a larger agenda. That's what I mean, where the confusion of your own mental
species.
Platforms. Yeah, it's the final goal of this is to confuse you and make you less an individual, less strong an individual, so that the powers that be can tell you what they want you to think. So one way, for example, is to destroy your identity in society. And what best way to destroy your identity than to tell you you're not a boy? I mean, you have a little pee-pee thing, but you're not a boy. Or you have that thing, but you're not a girl, really. So think twice before you buy a skirt. I mean, what else can be more damaging to make a person insecure than their own sexual identity?
Oh, it's crazy.
The long-term goal is to make people insecure about themselves so that they can be easier manipulated.
And break up family. You know, if there's no boy, there's no girl, there's no father, there's no mother, then there's no children. I mean, we're looking at
what's going on here with the Vatican and the church. Well, we live
in
the country of the Vatican, so the discussion is daily. How dare
we definitely don't have time for the Vatican, Massimo. let me ask you that. We just have a few minutes, but probably about 4 minutes. I see people, I say it's people with general morals, general common sense. That doesn't necessarily mean religious people, but it's included in that. But people with general sense, general traditional morals, they are coming more and more in conflict with this new push, this new ideas, all these new concepts, this socialist construct, whatever you want to say. It's becoming more and more apparent that it's polarized situation. To me, it seems like there's I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there seems like there's an inevitable clash coming. What do you see? Where are we going with all this?
I don't know if there's going to be a clash, because I see that the so-called silent majority winning so far. I mean, if you saw what happened here with the moon thing and my film, it's incredible. You have 99.9% of the mainstream press going against the fact that this guy just wrote an article, not even against my film. You can't attack my film. My film is all based on documentation from NASA, so there's nothing you can say about it, or from interviews, or with professionals. So they don't attack the film, attack the guy who wrote about the film. So I don't see a clash of that kind, at least not soon enough. I see more of I hope that there's a growth in consciousness from what is now a minority, and it becomes at least a majority, or at least we come to a turning point to a critical mass of people sufficiently aware that we're not necessarily being told the truth all the time. So we need to become our own judges. We cannot just trust the mainstream media for what they say anymore. We need to analyze and put it through a filter before we digest it. And of course it's more difficult. Of course it's easier to come home after work, you turn on the network news and just drink whatever they give you to drink. But once we become aware that that might be poison, then you want to think twice before you drink it. And that's what I see as the real revolution in the next 10, 20 years, possibly.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. The music is going to start soon, and if it does, your YouTube or your Skype signal will be hard to understand. It's an absolute pleasure. Again, thank you for your support. Thank you for what you do. I always love talking to you. It's been way too long since we've talked. Let's make sure we talk again a lot sooner.
Anytime. Thank you very much to you all.
We got about probably a minute, so final thought is yours, my friend.
Oh, final thought is I hope we'll be here again talking about more of these issues, not because of the single issue at each, you know, time after time, but because they're all connected. I mean, I'm going to promote myself a little bit here, but there's a reason why I call the collection of my DVDs, I call it The Great Lies of History, because apparently there's nothing in common between the John Kennedy assassination and the UFOs or the cancer problem and the marijuana. Apparently there's no connection, but there is, and it's the big lies of history. And once we learn that one is more than the other, we put them all together, we get a perfect world.
Well, there you go. Well, God bless you again, Massimo. God keep you, and we will get together. I can know it soon. We'll talk about vaccines or whatever in the world we talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, the end of the week, Charlotte Iserby is going to be here. We're going to, of course, talk about education, but really a different take. You know, her father was in Skull and Bones, and we're going to go down that road, and she's such a fascinating person if you can catch her. Get on the right path with her. So we're going to attempt to do that at the end of the week. We're so excited she's coming on. She's a real hero, as is Massimo. Massimo, God bless you. Everybody have a great evening, and we'll see you at the end of the week. And, you know, stay that line, ladies and gentlemen. We want you happy, healthy, successful, and free, just as God intended it to be. God bless you.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora, because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.